And then the Facebook group is Time for Disclosure / We Have Never Been Alone / We Are the Disclosure. So I may change that at some point, but right now that's what it is.
Yeah, more slashes in there than a Ted Bundy did.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, welcome to Encounters USA. I am your host, Matt Hines, Matthew Hines to some people. Tonight, we have a very special guest. We have Nancy Thames. In fact, she's so special, they named a river after her. So it's going to be really an exciting podcast tonight because we're going to be talking about, of course, on Encounters USA, we do aliens, Bigfoot, and Dogman, like on my shirt here. But tonight, we're going to be concentrating on aliens, and I just want to do a little plug here. If you want to see more podcasts and more YouTube videos that relate to this subject, go to encountersusa.com. And this is my only real alien book. This is my book. Oh, it's green, so you're not gonna be able to see it that well, but you can pick it up on my website. It's called Deceptions of the Ages, and it deals with extraterrestrials, and it's going to deal with some of the information that we're going to be talking about tonight. So, Nancy Thames, welcome to Encounters USA.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
All right. So you are actually down in Mississippi.
Yes, I am.
And okay, well, I hopefully that's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Okay. So yeah, so the first thing that we want to talk about, Nancy, is let's just get a little background on you. Like, we're going to talk about aliens, but let's do a little bit about you professionally. What did you do? And then we'll kind of do a little U-turn and talk about your alien encounters.
Okay. My name is Nancy Thames. I'm a lifelong contactee with interdimensional extraterrestrials. And this has been occurring all my life. You know, I've worked in dentistry forever. So when I got a job with the Department of Defense as a civilian, I worked in dentistry. And the first place I went to was at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii. And then I was at Fort Benning, Georgia. And what was significant about that, which has nothing to do with disclosure, was that I was working in teaching facilities, and I had the privilege of being around 3D imaging, which is a very high-tech type of x-rays that you do not even see around in public, you know, in the public, and even in the hospitals and stuff. I've not seen any 3D imaging done. So this was a pretty unique experience. And what was so significant about it is that when the Peruvian Nazca mummies were presented in Mexico at their congressional hearings, the man that introduced them to their congressional hearings, people shunned him, and the media would not even carry the coverage because automatically they assumed it was not real. They assumed that he had tinkered and played with the bone structures and put like animal or children bones in with these. So it was dismissed. But I watched it on YouTube. That was the only way to watch it, you know, as it continued on for days. And when they said 3D imaging, that automatically registered in my mind because you cannot cheat on x-rays of 3D imaging. You know, they're unlike the x-rays that we take in everyday normal life where we take it in, it's more two-dimensional. We take it like in front of a bone, behind a bone, or at an angle. But when you're doing three-dimensional, the x-ray goes down, it gets the x-ray of inside the bone, around every part of the bone, every little ligament, every little vessel, every little nerve ending, everything is exposed on this x-ray. You cannot cheat on these x-rays. So those mummies were real, but most of the world believed what the media was saying and stuff, you know. And now they're coming out and trying to backtrack and say, oh, those were real. But still, that's just kind of tells you that there's a lot of censorship in a lot of the things that happen on our planet. And, you know, there's a lot of things like that that need to change, you know, because we deserve the truth. You know, that's what people need at this day and time. So that's where that played into that. And I truly feel like the interdimensional extraterrestrials wanted me to have that experience, not only for that reason, but it was, you know, it kind of gives them whatever I experienced. They know everything that I experienced. So what better way to really truly know what it's like to be a human being than send an incarnate from their dimension here to be part of the world, have the human experience. And so my soul incarnated here, and they've shown me visions of this. And, you know, so it took me a long time to understand and figure all these things out, because they gifted me a Kundalini awakening almost between 2 and 3 years ago. We're pushing more towards 3, but we're still a little over 2. And when that occurred, everything that they had ever told me since I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s that definitely did not make sense in my human, you know, trying to rationalize these things did not make sense. So to help me to understand, they gave me the Kundalini awakening, which opened my subconscious up into my human consciousness and helped me to remember and piece all this stuff together. So that's the military aspect.
Okay, let me jump in here for a second, Nancy, because sure. I really want to structure this. Now, I just have to throw this in there. You had a background in dentistry.
Yep.
Well, actually, I took up dentistry for a while, but I had to get out of it. You know why?
You didn't like blood.
No, because I was always down in the mouth.
Okay.
I was pretty depressing. So, I don't have a drum roll thing here. So anyway,
you need something. I have to
throw that in there. Yeah. All right. So, before we're going to talk more about the aliens from the Nazca thing in a bit, but I'd like you to you talk about you're a lifelong experiencer, right? So let's go with that first. Let's talk about your lifelong experiences. When did they start? And then I want to go into, you talk about how you were basically the almost like an avatar for these people. So let's talk about your lifelong experiences. Let's talk about how they started. And
sure. My first conscious memories are from about 2 to 3 years old. And they would come to visit me, and they would always send 3 grays. At the time, I didn't know what they were. I just called them beings. So they would send what I now know are 3 grays. One is a female, and she is bonded with me, and I love her, and she loves me. And I, you know, all my life is always those 3. If they're transporting me through them, which usually means a craft is closer nearby. And what she would do is prepare me for my trip to craft. So humans being of a low frequency, she would use her consciousness or use a handheld device, and she would run it up and down my body, and it never touched me, but it would go up and down. And all of a sudden, I would feel my body start to vibrate, and then it would start to raise up off the bed. And as that happened, she would take me by the hand and then lead me up through the ceiling or through a wall or through a door. And, you know, I didn't have a problem with any of this when I was young, because I had nothing to influence me. It was what it was, you know. And when I would run and tell my parents, there's beings were in my room, they would just say, oh, go back to bed, you're having a dream. So, you know, I learned at a very young age to dismiss these things and suppress it, because you know, as I got older, you know, wasn't so cute and stuff anymore. And my parents emphasized more, you cannot talk about this kind of stuff at school, Girl Scouts, you know, with the basketball team, with the softball team, your friends, even other family members when we have get-togethers, because the world does not want to hear this. And I grew up in the South, in Tennessee, and these things were considered either demonic or a mental health issue. So my parents said, people will laugh at you. People will make fun of you. You cannot talk about this. And I took their advice, you know, and as I got older, you know, I could sense from hearing what other people were saying, because at this point in my life, junior high, high school, you know, I was seeing things on TV, Star Trek, you know, different things. And I was, you know, a little bit being able to find things like at a bookstore or something, but not that much, because it really wasn't a hot topic in the South because of what it was stereotyped as. So, however, when I got to where I started reading more and hearing more what other people were saying about their experiences, it made me question my experiences. So at that point, when they've always let me know at least 10 minutes before they manifest into a room wherever I am, what they're doing is they're giving me time to mentally prepare myself. So everything was fine and good when I was little, but as when I was in the junior high, high school, getting close to my, you know, closer to my late teens and stuff, then when I would feel that, I would start to feel dread. I would start to pull the sheets up, pretend like I was asleep. And they're telepathic. They know everything we feel. So when I started to feel the fear, which I guess they anticipated this would happen, but when it did, they would simply touch me on my forehead and put me in a blacked out state. So that way I would come back and have what I call fragmented memories. And other people have this happen too, and it's called missing time. So they can do it to where it's complete missing time, or they can do it to where you have fragmented memories. And with me, they did the fragmented memories because it gave me the opportunity to reflect back, that rationalize this in my mind, this is going to keep happening. And when I was younger, I wasn't scared. And I had to understand that it was my fear that was making them have to, you know, block out my memories and make it fragmented, because they could have blocked it completely out, but they didn't, because they knew I wasn't aggressive, you know, and they knew that I needed time to mature into this because the world around me had influenced me. So I started working on that. I started working on it, and it did not happen overnight. It was a process. Everything is a process. And I started, they let me know they're coming, and then I started feeling the dread and started feeling the fear, then I would consciously tell my mind, I can do this. I am not afraid. This is a vibrational frequency I'm experiencing, because we are at a lower frequency than they are. And for me, it's never been about what they look like. It is the frequency exchange between a human being and a extraterrestrial, interdimensional. You know, it is overwhelming. It is very overwhelming. It's a combination of extreme fear and extreme euphoria, and our brains just really can't comprehend it. And because of my fear, it intensified in me as my frequency began to raise up. Rather than, it didn't calm me down, it made me more scared. So they would have to black me out. And that's what they do with all humans if it gets to that point. So, and I found out later on that what she was doing when she was changing my vibrational frequency by holding a hand device or consciously doing it, she was changing my earth frequency as Nancy to match their frequency. And when she got me to that level that they were, that's how she was able to take me up through the roof or through the ceiling or through a door, you know.
Okay, so that answers a lot of questions, but it also gives me a lot more questions. All right, so let's go back here, two or three, right? They're abducting you for the first time. Did they tell you why?
I never call it abductions. I call it enlightened contacts or contacts. And what happens is they being the interdimensional and other extraterrestrials, send three grays. These three grays are hybrids that were created by the tall grays and the interdimensionals. Extraterrestrials and interdimensionals do not like the density, the low frequency of Earth. We are at a very low frequency. They are at a much higher frequency, and it's not as dense. So it's uncomfortable. So they created the hybrid gray, which is not a great color. She's reddish brown, about 4 foot tall. They created her, and they created her and fixed her DNA to where she could withstand the density of Earth and go back and forth. So she's pretty much does their legwork. And there's, of course, there's more than her, but for me, that happens to be the one I'm bonded with. And she does the legwork and gets me back and forth. So when I get on craft, I don't see her or the other two anymore. That's when I go through the whole real experience, which is a brief exam of checking my physical health, my mental health. You know, they check to see what toxins that we are being exposed to on Earth. You know, they check to see, you know, how am I balancing out my contactee in my human life? You know, am I balancing it out okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's pretty much a group around me doing an evaluation. And the people that the beings that I see there are the tall grays, reptilians, humanoids, the interdimensionals, aquatic beings, some beings that we don't even have names for here on Earth, because it is a mothership full of different races of beings with the interdimensionals or of the higher frequency. And they're more of a luminescent, kind of a shiny looking, and they're 8 foot tall. So they're older race of beings. So you might even refer to them, I guess. There's many different names I've heard. Like in the Bible days, they talked about shiny ones. Or, you know, I know that when I went before a group at one time, they took me before a council to understand why me, why my children, you know, because they're experiencers and contactees too. And I saw them being taken for their first contact. So when they did that, they took me before a group of interdimensionals, and they referred to them as elders. So kind of like, you know, the wiser of the bunch, sort of.
Okay, but still, I still want to know, did mm-hmm. they explain to you why you?
Yes. When I went before the council or group of elders of interdimensionals, which was many, many of them, and they were from different parts of galaxies, or, you know, they didn't go into all that detail, and I didn't ask, but I asked them why this was happening to me. What was the purpose of it? Why did they involve my children? You know, why me? And so they told me that I had made an agreement to be part of an evolutionary process here on planet Earth, and that I came here with a purpose, and that when I got here, you know, I wouldn't remember it, but they would be coming to visit me throughout my life to get me prepared for what my purpose here on this planet Earth is. And that was when I was 30 years old. So I, you know, was very confused, and they could sense my confusion. So they took a blue orb and they opened it up and showed me a vision. And the vision was of myself agreeing. I was an interdimensional being, and I was agreeing to be part of this process And my children, who I don't know if they were my children there or not, here on earth, they're my two sons. They also agreed to be part of this and come with me to help support me and be part of this mission. And that we would all wake up at different times and they would be contacting us all at different times to get us prepared for this evolutionary process that humanity would be going through, a leap in our ascension and evolution. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I saw myself waiting. I saw myself walking and through the whole process into the essence of myself going into my mother, inside my mother. And then I witnessed myself being born. And then at that point, they said, You will not remember any of this, but we will be visiting you all your life until the time is right. And then you will understand. So that's basically what has happened to me and my children.
Okay. So do you think that, do you think you were seated?
My soul incarnated here.
Okay. But
I was interdimensional.
Physically, you're not physically seated into your mother's womb, but your spirit was
my soul.
Yeah.
My soul was incarnated. My essence went into a fetus. There's only at a certain point where a soul comes into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can I ask about the one that contacts you? You say it's a hybrid from what?
She and the others are created by the tall grays and the interdimensionals. There's over 60 different races of grays in many different heights, many different colors. And she is a hybrid that they created because the regular extraterrestrials of all races and interdimensionals have a problem with the density here on Earth. So with their technology, which their technology is really not like our technology at all. But anyway, they created this specific hybrid to do legwork for them.
Okay.
And she's biological. She's not a robot. But a lot of people think they're robots, but they're not.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. Before we go too much farther, mm-hmm. Nancy, can you tell us your Facebook page? Because I found it very, very interesting.
Oh, it is, I'm sure. So, yes, it's time for disclosure / we have never been alone. We are the disclosure.
Okay, yeah, it's very interesting. And she posts some really incredible stuff on there. So we talked earlier, and I just want to jump into this because I'm very curious about the different types of aliens. And so we talked about this, the Matilda McElroy interview, and do you know enough about it to explain it, or do you want me to?
You can explain it.
Well, okay, so in the Roswell crash, supposedly one of the aliens that survived started communicating with the nurse that was on site, and they found out that this alien would not communicate with anybody and was very mistrustful of the military, and they had all the big wigs there. They had Hohenkotler and all of your Majestic 12 people were there. And she was able to, over time, they taught her how to speak English or to communicate in English. And then during the interview, and this is on YouTube, it's the Matilda McElroy interview, but over time, this alien opens up and starts telling her, not for the benefit of the military, but for the benefit of herself, about how there is not a race, but an organization called the Domain, and they supplanted another power that was it's like the old I can't remember what they were called. But the Domain is according to this interview, they control a quarter of the universe, and they're constantly expanding. She said exactly what you're saying. They don't like Earth because it's got a very dense gravity, and it's basically a volcanic rock that reinvents itself every now and then, and that a lot of people are put here just as it's a prison planet, and that the older power that the domain is trying to supplant has us basically locked in to a perpetual cycle of what people call reincarnation, that you, when you die, your soul doesn't get to go anywhere. You just get zapped, so you don't remember anything, and then back you go. So that brings up a lot of the stuff that you're talking about. And the first one is that this being was a gray. So, and she said, well, I'm not really a gray. I'm just a doll. I'm operated by somebody that lives back in our home planet, whatever. And so does that kind of sync with what you're talking about, that the ones that are the grays that are interacting with you are really just kind of avatars, and their consciousness actually exists someplace else because Earth is not a good place for them to be?
The way they explain it to me is that because of the density of Earth, they created the hybrid to do that kind of work. And the way they explain it to me, that they believe in creator source and they all have souls. So the way they, for me, I incarnated here. And when my vessel dies, this is a temporary vessel that I am. So the human experience is a very short experience. I'm 64 years old, which is nothing to them. They live much, much longer lifespans than we live. So I'm a baby to them still. I'm a baby. So, but when I die and I leave my vessel, my consciousness and my soul will reincarnate, will go back to source, or everyone's soul on Earth goes to their source. Whether you're an interplanetary soul, an Earth-based soul, or angelic soul, I'm an interplanetary soul. So I will go back to source and back to my home, to where my family are waiting for me, because my family are still there waiting for me. Now, sometimes I don't have proof of this, but my son and I talk about this quite a bit, because they're just like me. They've had the Kundalini awakenings. They experience all these things, get the downloads, et cetera, et cetera. So sometimes my oldest son and I talk about that we are the avatars, and our true self is in a sleep stasis on the mothership. And this is just a dream, you know. So, you know, there's so much of this, and I do not know everything, and neither of us claim to know everything, but we're learning more and more all the time. And, you know, it's not that they're not telling us, but it's our human brains. Sometimes it takes us a while to fight for it all to click, because this is way above anything that we experience here on Earth, way above any of our technology, way above any of our physics, way above anything in our reality. So I know that if you're an earthbound soul, you know, your source would be Earth. So you might be in a, you know, cycle. But the way they explained it to me is that when you go to source, where you originated from, your soul originated from, you go before, say, council or elders or whichever belongs in that realm. And if you have experienced all the things that you wanted to experience for your soul purpose, not your human purpose, your soul experience, you know, if you have not, you will come back and try it again on Earth to try to get those experiences. If you have met those experiences, then you can decide to come back, or you can decide to try another physical form somewhere else as a dolphin, if you want to come back to Earth, or a tree or a plant, or you could try another galaxy or be an extraterrestrial. You know, you have options when you get to that point. Or if you want to, if you're satisfied and the council agrees, you're satisfied with all these experiences, you can stay in a non-physical etheric state up at the highest realm, which is with the creator source, which is where all consciousness remain and stay until they want to do something different. And there is no end. Our souls are immortal. That's what they tell me.
Okay. What I want to talk about, because you bring up so many different topics, and for me, logically, it would seem that if the universe is conscious,
it is,
then it would create, it would be able to, through the processes of nature or whatever your thing is, that you would create these beings that would go out, that, like you say, would experience things, but so that the source would be able to experience and know these things, because the source can't, the source is the source. So you just create all these millions of little eyes and, beings that go out and experience things that, as you say, go, these people or the council or whatever sees through. And so they don't actually have to do it. So
what they say is all beings on Earth, all living beings, humans, all living creatures, planet Earth, the universe, extraterrestrials, interdimensionals, we are all one. We are all connected. And when we finally get our connections figured out and come in unity, that's what the creator source has in design for us, is for us all to understand our connections and come together and work together. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What happens on the ships?
On the ships, when I first get there, they check to see if I'm okay. They don't do what people say, the probing, the eye sticks and all that other nonsense. They are very, very, they're billions of years ahead of us in terms of evolution. And in their reality, our technology is a separate entity. Our technology is what you and I are talking on right now. We have to carry it around. It is separate. In their reality, their higher consciousness is their technology. It is not a separate entity. Now, they do have things that they can look at and things like that, because obviously they can't, from where they are, they can't see what's happening on Earth. So they have devices to where they can look and see what's going on around the universe and things. But as far, they can manifest anything they want, and they, they do their surgeries and stuff through their consciousness. So I go through the exam and then I'm evaluated, and then we just have conversations. And a lot of times, it's like they know whatever I've been thinking here on Earth, like maybe something I'm wrestling around with in my mind, and they will address that. Or, it's just different. And sometimes it's just to teach me things, because everything that has occurred in my life, good or bad, was a preparation to get me to where I am now, to do what I'm doing right now, to get the world ready, to bridge the gap between human beings and interdimensional extraterrestrials, to clear up misinformation, to speak the truth, speak from my heart, and to help people to understand, the bad, and a lot of their things that they've done have been perceived or stereotyped in the wrong way. And so I've experienced a lot for that very reason. Even when I was scared and upset and thought it was horrible, I now look at it from eyes of understanding, because everything they do was for a higher purpose, because they've always known that we were going to go through this stage of evolution. Even when they sent me here as an interdimensional, that was all part of this process. And we are now at this pivotal time where we are going through our ascension and evolution. And so now I'm here to try to get people to look within your subconscious, ask it to open up into your human consciousness, figure out who we are, our soul selves, not the Nancy or you that the world has programmed you to be, but to figure out your soul purpose, who you really are. And that's what they want us to do, is to wake up and understand who we are and understand that we all chose to come to this planet and be here at this time. We all knew this was going to be a big event, and we're all part of the disclosure. That's why I say we are the disclosure, meaning humanity, human beings. That's what this is all about. It's not about extraterrestrials have been around way before us, and they left plenty of evidence. But we, as a collective group of consciousness, put it in denial or didn't figure it out. It was right in our face, but we ignored it. But now, through, you know, we're leaving this 3D negative realm, moving into fourth or fifth dimension, our awareness and intelligence will increase. And it's the right time for them to interact with us, because we're finally at a level we'll understand they are not gods. They are not angels. They are simply beings that are billions of years ahead of us, and they wish us no harm. They see us as children, because they do not claim to have created us. They say they played a part, because they do believe in creator source. They played a part in it. They don't say they did it all.
Hey everyone, Matthew Hines here. I just want to encourage you, if you're liking this podcast, don't forget, head over to EncountersUSA.com, where we have a whole variety of different podcasts with some of your favorite Bigfoot, alien, and dogmen celebrities. So go over to EncountersUSA.com and check out our blogs, our podcast and YouTube videos, and don't forget to check out the gift shop, where you're going to find some of the latest fashions that are going to make you stand out wherever you go or whatever planet you happen to end up on. These are original designs by Matthew Hines. You're not going to find them anywhere else but EncountersUSA.com. So head on over and check us out. And don't forget to check out the bookstore as well. Yep, you can even get some fashionable merch from the Cascade Bigfoot series. That's right, it's all here at EncountersUSA.com. Now back to the show. All right, so we are back with Nancy Thames, and we were talking about the idea of source and the idea that these more intelligent beings than us have a certain purpose for us. And you're talking about like a higher consciousness, and we're evolving. So what, let's just start off with, what is your role in the evolution?
My role is to help bridge the gap, help people to understand, teach people how to be more positive, by being more positive, raising our frequency. We raise our frequency, our attitudes, you know, our understanding, our thinking increases, and we become healthier. So it gets us, you know, the object is to get as much of humanity on the right path of raising the frequency. And if we get the frequency going so far, and it does spread among humans, just like the common cold spreads. And so if we get to a certain frequency, then we start ascending and we start evolving. And this is not something that's going to leave anybody out. Different people will, every human being, this is a worldwide phenomena. It affects everybody. Nobody's getting left behind like what some of these people think and say. But some people will wake up or become more in tune with things quicker than others. But it will be inevitable that they will eventually have to change, because as we raise our frequency and become more, you know, in that frame of mind, we will not give attention to negativity or lower level thinking, because it no longer serves us as our human souls. It no longer serves humanity. So they will have to participate in change in order to be part of the crowd, so to speak. So
how do we change our frequency?
By being more positive. So when you have, we have to first recognize the fact, since the day we were born, we've been programmed. We're in a 3D realm. The 3D realm is a negative realm. This is where wars, racism, division, separation, all these things occurred in this negative realm. This is the realm where it occurs. As we go up our DNA ladder into higher realms, dimensions, which are not physical places, and there's not locations for these places, they are higher levels of consciousness. So as we do this, as we go up our DNA ladder, all negativity, little by little, all these warlike ways, all this division, separation, all these things fall off little by little. None of it occurs overnight, just as in our ascension and our evolutionary process, because this is a worldwide phenomenon, and it has to be a slow divine way, because we're all a part of it. And by the time we get to the end of it, it will seem like our world has always been this way. It's just like in our past histories, we go back and look and we see great leaps or big jumps, technology leaps, things that have occurred. And there's like a period of time where we just don't understand where mankind all of a sudden became like we are now. But the difference now is we are more of a higher conscious, and we're aware our world is changing. We're aware of the actual words and meanings of frequency and dimensions. Back in those days, they had no idea. So it was just, you know, they didn't know. So, and okay. At the time, it's like I said, they didn't even realize it. And they seem like their world had always been that way. And it's now when we reflect back and look at history, we see, wow, what happened there? You know, so it's basically the same thing, except they were more intelligent this go around. But this is the biggest one since our creation. This is a big event. And that's why all of the extraterrestrials of many, many or all races are here to witness this, because they've been waiting and planning on this for a very long time. I mean, that's why I'm here. You know, that was 64 years ago. They've always known that this was going to happen, and this is what they've been waiting on. And I also think that's what our, if the government knows what I know, it makes sense that they would just not jump out and disclose all that they know, because why do that and disrupt our world and put people in a panic when they know that evolution has a role to play in this, and we just have to be patient and let evolution run its course, which will help people to comprehend, understand these vast changes in reality, and it will be at a more understandable, and they'll have more awareness. It'll be more digestible to all the way that it's being done.
Okay.
All of it goes together. It's all part of it. You know, all of it's part of the same thing. This is evolution.
Okay. So we're not going to stay on this topic for too long, but I just have to ask you this. So the evolution you're talking about is not conscious. It is physical. It is genetic evolution. Are you talking about that there are
it people? It is consciousness. We so are that, reaching higher levels of consciousness.
Okay, but that's not your normal evolution. Evolution has to do with, you know, Darwin and things like that.
He wasn't right. Okay.
So this is a conscious evolution.
This is an awakening to a spiritual dimensional realm. An opening of awareness that we're opening doors to realities that we cannot visually see with our eyes. We're in a 3D world. We can only see so far. Okay. Or even dogs, cats, other animals. And we are understanding that everything on our planet, plants, insects, birds, are all living conscious beings. Plants and trees communicate. We can't see it. That's because we're in a locked 3D. Our vision only goes so far. We only use our five senses to understand the world and the universe.
Right.
These things are physically going to change.
Mm-hmm.
is going to change our visual range. Extraterrestrials, interdimensionals are not high.